Just in time for summer, the folks at Epic Brewing have released a new canned cocktail, the Utah Margarita. A delicious blend of real lime and agave, the Utah Margarita is ready to drink by the river or in the park. And here's the kicker, no need to buy it at a liquor store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or visit Epic Brewing on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Today on CityCast Salt Lake, it's a short week for a lot of us, not all of us, and that doesn't mean there isn't city news. Lead producer Emily Means is here, and we're going to tell you what's up so you can feel sufficiently informed before you log off for 5 days. Today's Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Allie. How are you?
Pulling back the curtain, we both just did a big deep breath before starting this show today because, I don't know, I'm sufficiently pissed.
Yeah, I think that is a completely fair response to the news of the week.
Yeah. Okay, let's just get into it. So here's where we're going to start. A gunman opened fire at a queer bar in Colorado Springs on Saturday night. He killed 5 people and injured many more and traumatized many, many more. And this is something that feels really close to home for Salt Lakers for a lot of reasons. Salt Lake, I'll say it, this is a queer town. Like, everything about Salt Lake's identity, I think, exists because of it's the city's fight and journey to queer liberation. Like, the shooter was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. A lot of Salt Lakers have been to that bar in Colorado Springs. Like, you know, if you grew up here and you competed in sports there or whatever, like, it's a nearby place in our region where a lot of Salt Lakers have spent time, so they also feel, you know, a personal connection to that space. This felt almost like hometown news.
Mm-hmm. And it also came at the tail end of a week where we were celebrating our trans community members. So this was the worst possible way to end the week. And before we get into what this looks like in Salt Lake, how Salt Lake is responding, I want to give a shout out to our friends at CityCast Denver who were on this story so quickly. They changed all of their plans to respond to this news. And I'd love to direct you to listen to the show they did on Monday where they broke down the connections between Republican, political, anti-trans, anti-queer rhetoric, and the consequences that has in their community. So definitely go check out CityCast Denver's episode on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And sort of like coincidentally, I hate like bundling these stories up together, but these are both gun stories. Like Saturday night in Salt Lake City, a 29-year-old woman named Nicole Olson went out to a bar downtown with her boyfriend, as people across the city do all the time. Outside the bar, her boyfriend got in a fight with another man. The details are a little vague right now, but basically this altercation between these two men resulted in the other man pulling out a gun and ending up shooting Nicole Olson, and she is now dead. And her family is devastated. The city's torn up by this. So, I mean, this is a story of people who, this was a weekend of people dying that don't need to be dead.
And a lot of people in our city, and probably in cities across this country, are on edge right now. We're seeing local bars respond to this, you know, by upping their security measures because they don't know if their patrons will be safe. There was a new queer bar that opened recently in Salt Lake. The Salt Lake Tribune has the story on this. And, you know, in one moment they were celebrating their opening. And in the next, they are planning to install a metal detector at the door and have their security staff trained on active shooter situations. So, yeah, you know, we're all reeling from this still.
Yeah. And like the opening of Club Verse is still exciting. Like it's a beautiful bar. They're going to have a great rooftop. Like, but I think you touch on something that like is really where my head is at right now, which is the conversation it feels like in Salt Lake is about security. And security is always a difficult conversation and it's a nuanced conversation. Like, what does it look like to feel safe in Salt Lake? And I think everyone has a different relationship with that. And I think a lot of these queer bar owners right now are grappling with wanting to implement measures that make people feel safe and make them feel safe and like, you know, work. Like, having a metal detector at the entrance or, you know, figuring out what to do. But at the same time, like stationing police outside of a queer bar, if we look at the history of queer resistance, like that is not going to make people feel safer, right? And so where do you turn to find that sort of reassurance? Or everyone's looking for a definitive solution and it doesn't feel like there really is one other than to turn to each other. I went on Monday night, Emily, to the vigil that the Pride Center did. And, you know, I talked with one of their CEOs. Her name is Amanda. And she was like, well, here we are. We have to lock our doors. They had to have someone standing at all the doors, the entrance, letting people in and out. You know, they're trying to figure out what security looks and feels like to them because this is an organization that wants to have its doors open, right? Like fundamentally, these are spaces where people should be able to go to feel safe in a community where they don't necessarily feel safe elsewhere. And now the very security, the very philosophy of being an open space is threatened by, you know, a terrorist, an act of terrorism.
The other thing that Amanda told me that I thought was interesting is, I don't know if you saw this news a couple months back, but basically the Pride Center announced that they have three CEOs. And when I first heard that, I was like, wait, how does that work? Like, how's that different from another C-suite? And what I learned last night that I thought was really interesting is that part of the reason for that shared position is that it's an emotionally exhausting role. And so the feeling was that for one person to be heading up that organization, you know, leadership is, I mean, you know, you're a boss, like being in charge is hard. And like, it can be emotionally taxing just to be in charge, but leading the Pride Center right now is, you know, there's an emotional burden. And so part of the three CEO setup is to help create a scenario where they can support each other in leadership right now. And I think that is, that just really strikes at, I think, where we're at.
Yeah. This is a time, and I don't want us to go too far down the political rabbit hole here, but I do just want to mention, you know, we saw a response from Governor Spencer Cox on this. Pretty short, tight, you know, our prayers are with you. We need to stand with the LGBTQ community. I'd like to see more from him and from our leaders in this state. I wanted to point out that just a couple of weeks ago, the St. George City Council had, you know, like 200 people in their community come in to debate whether, you know, the merits of a drag show in their city. And we heard the same kind of terrible rhetoric that we've heard all across the country aimed at our LGBTQ community. That's happening here in Utah, you know? So get your house in order, Republicans, get your house in order, Governor Cox. And if you care about the LGBTQ community here, we need more than just words. We need to not see transphobic legislation. We need to not pull LGBTQ related books from our schools libraries. You know, all of this It's more than just words. These words lead to terrible, devastating, tragic actions. And so we need more from you. So on that note, there are resources for people in our community who are impacted by this. Allie mentioned the Utah Pride Center. I would also point you to the Transgender Education Advocates of Utah, T of Utah. Under the Umbrella Bookstore is a really great community resource. So that place is awesome. So support them, support each other, and just know that we love you here at CityCast.
Yeah. And I want to offer one more thing, and I want to be really specific, which is if you are a bar or a local business and you want to think about a security protocol or you're thinking about safety right now, the Salt Lake City Police Department does offer this sort of small program, and it's called Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design. And it does not, like, calling them to participate in this, here's what this means. It means that very likely their LGBTQ liaison, whose name is Crystal Grady, will come to your business and walk through and look at some of the security, the ways that you could make your business or bar more safe. Okay, maybe we need more emergency exits, or let's get a better signage here. Things like that, like really sort of specific, tangible things. It does not mean that the police will be stationed at your business. It doesn't put your business on any sort of a like watch list or anything like that. And so I guess what I want to say, Emily, is like to listeners, like you should not have to do this. We should live in a world where you do not have to do this. That is the most important thing. But if you want to do this, if you want to participate in this training, if you want to even explore, I'm going to put a link in the show notes. The person you can reach out to, again, her name is Crystal Grady. And so can't say it enough. We should not have to do this. We should be able to go out and celebrate freely and safely. But that is an option if you're a small business and you're reeling and you're looking for something tangible.
The Living Traditions Festival is back in downtown Salt Lake City, May 17th through 19th, and this is when I come alive. It is so easy to sell me on 3 days of Washington Square and Library Square converting to a global food court, and this festival has truly been one of my favorites for years now. Living Traditions convenes the diversity of artistic traditions, food heritage, music, and art from the many cultures that have made Utah their home. You can expect everything from live music and dance to hands-on workshops, a little shopping, Sundance film screenings, and Bohemian Brewery. There is something for the whole family, and it's free entry. Come celebrate all of the rich cultures that make up our community. Find more information on the festival and view the full program guide at livingtraditionsfestival.com or on Instagram and Facebook at SLC Living Trad. We talk a lot on this show about our city's crown jewels. What are the institutions that open doors in our community and regulate its pulse? I choose Salt Lake Community College, and it is a home for incredibly focused Salt Lakers. Nearly 80% of their students work while going to school, many full-time jobs. If I could do college all over again, I would not be 33 and sitting on these damn student loans. And slick students aren't. 80% graduate with little to no student loan debt or save thousands knocking out credits before transferring to a four-year institution. Every day, Salt Lake Community College is transforming lives and communities through education. If you want to learn something new, refine a trade, or pursue a higher degree for the first time, explore your options at slcc.edu. Study alongside hard workers, save precious money, and be one in a class of 19, not 100.
Allie, I've got some pizza news for you. Are you ready?
Okay, I can handle it.
Building Salt Lake reports that Big Daddy's Pizza on 7th East is coming down. It's coming down. And when I heard this, I said, excuse me, what now? What? Big Daddy's?
I mean, where am I going to get pizza when literally every single other
option is not available to me. And I mean, literally every single other option.
They deliver all night. They deliver all night. Okay, it's coming down because developers are working on a student housing project at 5th South and 7th East. Yes, we need more housing all around. But never fear, Big Daddy's fans. They are opening another location on 8th South. In Central City area. So, Allie, I got to tell you, I have a lot of fond memories with Big Daddy's. They deliver.
Do you?
Yep, they deliver all
I've
night.
I haven't been in there. What's it like in there? Tell us what it's like in there before it disappears.
You know, I don't think you need to go in.
Oh, okay.
You don't need to go in. And, you know, I used to be a student at the U. I lived in the dorms. That's why I have this relationship to Big Daddy's, because they deliver all night. And I didn't have a car when I was a student at the university. Yeah. So if I needed a 3 a.m., you know, barbecue chicken pizza, they got me. They got me. So, you know, this is devastating news. For some people, but never fear, you know, they'll just move down the street. Can I share one more story about Big Daddy's?
Oh my God.
Can you believe
I can't believe you've got another one. Okay, yes.
Okay.
I wanna hear
it. Well, this was on Twitter. This was from Jeremy Harris, a reporter at KUTV. And a few years back, he reported a story about, you know, like some guy who was trying to rob this Big Daddy's. He was dressed up in white garbage bags. And the Big Daddy's employees beat him away with a pizza paddle. So, you know, it's an institution in our community.
I wonder if they're frat boys and they were just like, oh, this is autopilot for us. Get the paddle, John.
Get the paddle. All right. In other food news.
Do you have other food news?
No, you have food news. I was trying to make the segue for you, but you can make it instead.
No, because I just got this Twitter alert and I actually do want to slide one more thing in. Did you see this, Emily Means? This is also food news. Your segue can stay. The Millers just bought the majority stake in Swig.
Okay. That seems completely natural for them.
Yeah. I think this is interesting because I'm like, okay, the Millers are seeing what we're seeing, which is the dirty soda empires are becoming national empires or at least regional empires. And they're like, now's the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know much about investing, but I have a feeling like this means something. Bloomberg, get on it. I think it's fascinating. I'm always like, here's another reason I think it's interesting is because you know how Crumbl became the official like jazz cookie?
Yeah.
I'm like, is Swig gonna become the official beverage of like whatever? Okay, wait, hold on. Holy crap, this is happening in real time. You know how much I hate the Coke Freestyle machines at the Megaplex. Are we gonna get a Swig inside the Larry Miller Megaplex? Is this where we're heading?
Gail, call Allie.
Oh, my God.
Call Allie right now.
I'm sweating.
She's
I'm
got sweating. A brilliant idea for you.
Meg Walter, if you're listening. I feel like Meg Walter's story coming soon. Okay, we got to move
on. We got
to
move
on. I'm going to panic. Okay. Speaking of food news, let's talk about turkey because, of course, this is the week of the turkey. Turkey is really expensive this year in Utah, and KUER did a story about why that is. And the answer is avian flu has hit Utah's turkey flocks pretty hard.
Poor turkeys.
I know.
No one likes being sick.
Right. It's not just us. It's like us and we're included in 46 total states that are like dealing with the avian influenza. But it is affecting turkeys and everyone's really feeling the pressure. They have quote unquote depopulated 700,000 turkeys in Utah, which I think is probably a euphemism for killed them, but not for being sold. 16 farms, 25 facilities, like that's a lot of turkey. So there's been about a 40% price increase in turkeys this year. So, you know, inflation is hitting the turkey market.
Listen, I'm here to tell you, you don't need to eat turkey.
Oh, thanks for, I mean.
You don't need to. And mom, this is for you, really. stop making that turkey. I know that it causes you a lot of pain every single year. It
takes like 8 hours.
It takes like 8 hours. Takes up all your counter space and oven space. Takes up your freezer space. What if we just did a lasagna? Huh? Thanksgiving lasagna?
I love that idea.
You like where I'm going with this?
Yeah, because the turkey, I rarely go to a Thanksgiving where someone is obsessed with the turkey. The last time I remember someone being like, I'm a real turkey fiend, it was the dad from the film A Christmas Story, okay? Like, I just don't, the turkey is a vessel for the sides. Like, what do you do with your turkey? You take a slice of turkey, you load it up with gravy, mashed potatoes. Uh-huh. I mean, if you're me, the whole jelly can of cranberry jelly.
We love cranberry on the turkey. If we have to have the turkey at all.
And specifically, I want the cranberry. I want the cranberry to be... That's how I want it to sound when it leaves the can.
What was that?
The cranberry, the sound of the cranberry you just hitting a plate.
Shake it out and it comes out shaped like the can.
Yes, exactly.
And then wobbles around when it hits your plate.
And I can cut a perfectly round slice.
Yeah.
That's what I
want.
Satisfying. But I don't need to put it on turkey. Like, sides are the point. The turkey can hit the road. And frankly, the turkey would rather. Like, if I'm the turkey, I'm buying a billboard on I-15 next to Chick-fil-A that's like, eat more chicken.
Eat more chicken. So cranberries is your favorite side, Allie?
Well, I don't think cranberry is a side. I think it's more of a topping. My favorite
dressing.
Side is sweet potato casserole.
Oh, mama, you mm-hmm. and me. How do you take mm-hmm. your sweet potato casserole?
My mom has a killer recipe. I have now that I'm in my 30s, I'm like using my mom's recipes. She makes it the day before, which is so great. And hers has rolled oats in it.
Oh, what? For what?
Okay, it's like it's a sweet potato casserole and then it's got rolled oats in it and then rolled oats on the top.
Okay.
And you don't cut the sweet potatoes too small. Like, you want to keep big chunks.
Okay.
And then the oats get crispy and the sweet potatoes are sort of soft and they're buttery. And then if you want to do the traditional, like, marshmallow on top thing, you can do that. But you don't have to because it's sweet enough with the rolled oats.
Hmm. Who'd have thought? So it becomes kind of like a delicious oatmeal bake in a way. Okay,
exactly.
Mom. I see you. I see.
What about you? What are you getting after?
I'm getting after the sweet potatoes. My mom, when we were younger, she would do two different types of sweet potatoes because that's the way she is. We would have the marshmallow version. The marshmallow casserole. And then my favorite is like loaded with brown sugar and like some pecans on top. Or pecans. Yeah. I don't know where you're from. Some pecans on top to kind of crisp things up. But it's like fully the texture of baby food, except for the pecans.
Oh, you're really selling it.
Yeah, it is good. And it's good for breakfast the next day. It's good for dessert. Oof. Oof.
I mean, how you can hear us wax poetic on sweet potatoes and be like, you know what I'm looking forward to?
Turkey.
The driest, most boring slab of nonsense around. But you know what? Turkey people, this is your moment. Go for
we
it.
See.
Because I don't want to see a turkey at Christmas. I only want to see a ham.
Well, you know what? We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting out of myself. It's been a tough week, and Thanksgiving isn't an easy holiday either. But I hope that you have safe travels and get to eat something that makes you feel comforted and good and delicious. And I'll see you Monday.
See you Monday, Allie.
That's all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. Our lead producer is Emily Means. Our producer is Ivana Martinez. Our newsletter editor is Therina Ria. And our host is me, Allie Vallarta. Music is by the local band Mitochondria. We will be back Monday morning with our show and our newsletter. Have a great weekend. You can do mushrooms on top, or sorry, mushrooms.
We've got a mushroom oat sweet potato casserole
Florida,
with the marshmallows on
what do you
top
want
of the
from
mushrooms.
Me? Florida woman makes mushroom oat sweet potato casserole.